Right. So today it's the 2nd of November 2017 and I'm in Badwell Ash. I'm up at Richard Close with my cousin Mr. Malcolm Frost, and it's about 2:05 by the face of Badwell Ash church clock as we start having a little chat about Badwell Ash and what memories Malcolm can have from sort of when he was born. So you were born in 1942, weren't you, Malcolm? Now your parents, where would they have lived around that time?
They lived at Hillcrest, Badwell Ash, beside the church.
Beside the church, yeah.
Beside the church. Because our family was sort of well in front with telling the time, because they lived beside the church clock, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
And, and looking at our side window over the cemetery, we could always see a bloke there called John Bull. And that used to make you think of the tires, you know, John Bull, but that weren't. I mean, he's still there. And because the drift way down around the drift there, instead of that being one house like it is now, that was three. Three, you see. And that was the Mannings.
Yes.
First. But he was in the army, so he never come home. No, he didn't. But she got three or four kiddies then.
Yeah.
And there was, in the middle, there was a Mrs. Bloomfield.
Yeah.
And she was Basil Brown, the bloke what done the archaeology She was, that was her cousin. That was her nephew.
Because he was up at Rickenhall, wasn't
that's
he?
Right.
That's right.
He lived at Rickenhall.
Yeah. That's right.
That was her nephew. Yeah. He used to bike there.
He used to bike there. It was a long way, wasn't it?
He did. Bike there, you know, on a Sunday, almost every Sunday. And right on the end, Miss Richie lived, who this Richard is named after, but they spelt it wrong, so that had to stay. But her name was Richie.
Yeah.
Miss Richie. And she lived on that end.
Yeah.
And after she died in 1945 or 6, Mrs. Hughes come there.
Yeah.
And my mother was down there one Saturday because she used to look after the old lady. She went down it's about the same time of year as this. And she said to the co-op chap that she weren't moving far, and because when they went in, she was dead in the chair.
Oh, I see. So what did your father do in a line of work sort of when you were young?
He had a garage across or opposite where the fish shop is now.
Yeah, so was that just sort of up that?
It was just in that semi, and he owned all the land up the back here.
Yeah.
And because he sold it to Peter Austin.
Yeah.
For 1,200 quid.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know. But we had it until 1962.
Yeah.
My brother owned it, don't you know, but he sold it in 1962 to Peter Austin.
Yeah.
You know, it was a pity it was, but it happened, because we could all had a bungalow up there.
Yeah. And was your mother at home sort of bringing new children up and stuff?
All the time.
All the time, yeah.
And we had three maids at one point.
Yeah.
One used to take us out for walks, get us out of the way, and the other two done mother's housework and the washing and everything.
That's right, because there would have been a lot, wouldn't there, with four children.
Washing.
Yeah.
And after, because my father, we couldn't afford to keep the garage, and he just packed in and went and worked for Gershon Miles.
Yeah.
Gershon come after him, and he worked for him for the rest of his life, for 30 years.
Yeah. So when you were born, it was in sort of in the middle of the Second World War, wasn't it?
It was.
What was it like in the village in wartime? What can you remember very much about? I know you wouldn't have been very old.
I can remember going down to the baker's here.
Yeah.
And everything was rationed.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And Mrs. Bloomfield, that lady, what Basil Brown's aunt, or whatever, she used to change her coupons with my mother.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So she could get more sweets and she could get
That's right.
more sugar or whatever. And my grandmother Frost, you know, Ethel Mariah Frost, she used to get her sugar from Barbados.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Stuff and all that. That was all sent over here. I can remember my brother David having the stamps off the big brown parcel.
That's right, yes, because you would save that sort of thing, wouldn't you? With stamps and that sort of thing.
Still gone.
Yeah.
Still gone.
Yeah. Now, there wasn't much sort of bombing on the village as such, was there? It sort of got away fairly lightly.
I did. There was one lot of bombing, and a chap I worked with is a shade older than me, 20 years older than me, and he told me, he said, people don't wonder what them ponds are along there from Walsham to Ixworth.
Yes.
He said, they're not ponds, they're bomb craters.
Yeah.
And they're still there in there.
And I suppose they'd filled up with water, are they?
Yeah, it's full of water.
Yeah.
And they'd drain out quick and everything. But that's what they are.
Yeah.
Because he lived near Wickenhall.
Yeah.
And he said they wondered whatever's going on, but the Germans thought that they were getting either near Honning or getting near the beet factory.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned about your grandmother. Now, she's married to your grandfather, Oscar. Oscar originally came from Walsham, didn't he? And then they moved down to here.
Yeah.
Whereabouts did they live in the village?
Well, they actually lived at Babble Green.
Right.
First.
Yeah.
And after that, they went back to Walsham.
Right.
The big house was right opposite you as you go up Summer Road, where the fancy work is. They lived there. And then they come to Babble Ash and lived in, I think it's Y Cottage opposite the church.
Yeah.
And they give £220 for that.
Right.
1952-ish. 51, 52. they lived there, and my grandmother had TB, because she died, didn't she?
Yeah.
She died, it would be 1953, 54.
Yeah.
And Oscar lived another 10 years, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Now, he used to play in the brass band, didn't he?
He played in the temperance band.
Temperance band, yeah. Well, I've seen pictures where he's in the group with the other people.
That's right, with the big bass drum he played.
Now, the temperance movement was quite big, especially in Walsham, wasn't it? Because they had parades with traction engines and all sorts of things like that. There's photos.
I did. You got it. And I've actually got, I'll just go and get them for you. There's a picture of him and her, if you'd like them.
Yeah.
I was going to laminate them for you, but if I give you them there, you don't know who
Thank you, are. Yes.
Oh, yeah. We got them, David, are we? I have to find them. Pictures.
Yeah, that's all right. No, it's no problem at all.
Two of them.
Thank you.
But this is the temperance. band in the Temperance Hall.
Yeah. Oh, I can spot him on there straight away because he's got like the large drum. Yeah, you can see him on there.
Of him.
Yeah.
Is not far after that.
Yeah.
Because he was about 18 then.
Yeah.
But this lady I'm friendly with, she wanted to see that, and I said, "Well, I'll find it." And that is me.
Yeah.
Tony Reeve, and my mate.
Yeah.
With a girl Keeble.
Yeah.
And a girl Hawes from Walsham.
Yeah.
You know, that's 1960.
1960. And where was that?
That was Yarmouth.
Yarmouth. Yeah, I was going to say it looks like a seaside place.
Yarmouth.
Yeah.
But you know, that Temperance band. I must have got another picture of that. You know, but Oscar knew all them.
Yes.
He told me who they were. You see.
Yeah.
He told me all about them, and I just that lady wanted to see them.
Yeah.
See that, and I said, "Well, I'll get you." Hunt them out when I hunt David stuff. You know?
So what did Oscar do? What was his job and what had he done?
He was on the land.
Yeah.
He was also working in the pits here.
Right. Yeah.
He was, you know, just cave it in and
that's right.
And that. And
yeah.
He was in the pits because there's a boy at Bramford near Ipswich. He's got a good picture of him.
Right.
And his father, which was a largent, in them pits, them pits.
Right.
And then, because Oscar went in the war rag.
Yeah.
Wartime.
Yeah.
He was in the war rag. He loved it. And then because he had spells when he come out of the war rag with different farms in Walsham and that, like Bottoms and...
Yeah.
And he worked... In the hall up here at Langham,
yes,
in them gardens,
pruning
and digging and
and
setting trees and everything, you know.
Yeah.
He's all round near the church, and he cut the church grass and that at Langham.
Yes,
kept that graveyard tidy.
Yeah. You know? So going back to when you went to school, how old were you approximately when you started school? So you're born in 1942.
Four instead of five.
I see, yeah.
Amy House and Eva House, they said to my mother, "We can take him."
Yeah.
Because there was four of us.
Yeah.
And so I went to school early. David didn't.
No.
David had something wrong with him where he had, I think it was ingrown toenail.
Okay.
He weren't allowed to go to school. He got to get that sorted before he went.
Yeah.
He was six, but I was four.
Yeah.
And, that'd be...
1946-ish, 46-47,
That would.
What was it like here after the war had finished? Things were rationed for quite a while, weren't they?
They were. And there was a lot of people hadn't got a lot of money because my mother had plenty of money, and she used to make sure Mrs. Smith up the road here done her washing to give her some money for the doing things. And Mrs. Rose up here, she, my mother would buy carrots, onions, you name it off her for us kids, you know, vegetables and fruit and that off them, because they simply needed the money to look after their kids then.
That's right,
you know. God, there was a lot of people what were unfortunate, really. We were fortunate kids, us four.
Was there much things that you couldn't get in bad? Well, i.e. like from the shop and things. Did you have to go elsewhere for anything else, like a butcher's, or did you have to go to Walsham for that?
Yeah, we did.
Ashfield,
had a butcher's. That was my mother's cousin had that butcher shop.
Yeah.
Well, that was Horry George for a start. But that was her dad who had the butcher. She took the butcher's over when they died, you know, his daughter. Yeah.
What would we have had here, sort of shop-wise? Was Pratt's here then, Pratt's shop?
Yes, because Mac Pratt was my mother's cousin.
That's right, yeah.
And before that, her aunt had the job.
Yeah.
And let Mac take it, you know, when it belonged to Youngson Crawshay.
Yeah.
That's who Mac bought it off in the end.
Yeah.
We also had Oggy do the cobbler, then we had Hunston. We just got to go over the bridge out of Babel and we got Hunston.
Yeah.
There was a little shop there.
There was, yeah.
There was a little shop what sold sweets and different bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Mr. Stinson's.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because there was a lot of Stinson's as well, wasn't there? There's a lot of that family, yeah. Yeah,
married out to the Largents and
that's right.
Clorks, really. And because we had the post office here on the corner where that Lady Webster lived.
Yeah.
That used to be the post office.
Yeah.
That was one big long block, that was, you see, instead of three now.
Yeah. And where the shop is at the moment, sort of along on that side, where that is, where it's Londis now, did that used to be a shop there?
That used to be a shop, and that used to be my great-grandfather Lynn's.
Yeah.
And then Keane's went in.
Yeah.
And after that, I can't remember really who went in after.
No.
I know, like, Minter, Davis, and sort of all the others. Yeah. But
I can always remember it being there. And I mean, obviously, I'm quite a bit younger than yourself, but, you know, and you I can always remember it being there.
It had big warehouse along there, didn't it? Before you got to, which
is called
Charlie Bungalows now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had their own kitchen garden.
Yeah.
One of the largest boys in that done. And they sold the vegetables in the shop.
Yeah.
But that was sort of haberdashery there. That, they sold everything from a needle to
whatever you wanted, really.
And I remember going down there and my mother used to send us down there after thread, which you can't buy now.
No.
That thread was tough. To sew things up with.
That's right, because you had to mend everything then, really, didn't you? You couldn't always just get everything new, could you?
No. Your socks were darned, weren't they?
That's right,
wool, and I remember seeing my mother darning us kids' socks.
That's right.
But they weren't as bad as some of them poor little kids what hadn't got a lot of money.
That's right,
They had to go without socks and...
Yeah.
Holes in the shoes and everything.
Who was in the White Horse just across the road at that time?
That was Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Right.
And their son was Monty Smith. He had a garage at Stowe Lake within the inn.
Yeah.
He's got a son and a daughter still about here.
Yeah.
But that was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and I had a half door in the back for the kids to go to.
Yeah.
So we weren't allowed
nowhere
near the pub.
No.
And we used to sit just outside with a glass of lemonade and some chips.
Yeah.
And they come in a tin into the chips.
Yeah.
Packets in a big tin.
Yeah.
And that bloke brought the chips to the actual pub, lived at Emsville, and his name was... one of the Jacobs.
Oh, yes, okay.
You owned the pub there.
Yeah.
An old pub. It was the Oak. Not the Oak, it was...
Because Elmsham's still got the Fox and the... Is it the Railway Tavern,
that's
I think?
Right, they have now. But this one...
Was one before that.
This one, my mother's aunt run Mabel Pratt, you know.
Yeah.
Mac's mother. They had this. I had a... fancy name I did, that pub.
Yeah.
That was still a pub when I was a boy.
Yeah.
But someone turned into a garage.
Right, okay.
Because they could pull off a road to get petrol.
That's right.
That's Carton's garage. Yeah.
What sort of, when you were younger, what sort of entertainment did you have? Was there things in the village to do?
That the Americans used to send a bus here.
And there was like a party.
Take us to Shepherd's Grove.
Yeah.
To a party.
Was that at Christmas?
That was just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And you'd get an orange and you'd get a bag of sweets, you know, chewing gum or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, my father's spoken about that as well. Yeah, yeah, he can remember that.
Give you a little, a small present, but that meant a lot.
That's right.
That did, it meant a lot. And we were all used to look forward to that because we used to meet up with the Stanton kids and the Walsham kids.
Yeah.
And sort of local kids. You know, blast up was quite an occasion, but we did have parties in the village hall.
Yeah.
In the old village hall. Plus, we used to go there for our nativity plays and that.
That's right. We all
had to do something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we always have to be a king or something.
That's right, in whatever it was for that. Yes, that's
all
right.
Dress up.
Dress up, yeah.
Well, that was an occasion.
Yeah.
And my sister was the Virgin Mary two or three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can remember, well, you know Elsie, don't you? Yeah. Well, I remember Elsie, after my father died, I had to take all my photographs on his side of the family over for her to say who they were, because we didn't know a lot of them, you see, because he hadn't written on the back. He would know who they were. But I remember there's one of John Holder as a shepherd, and he got the tea towel on his head.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was that sort of thing, dressing up, and
we were on there somewhere, me and my brother David.
Yeah.
And that, you see, because we all had to participate in the thing.
I'll find that up, and then I'll do you a copy of that the next time I see you, because I'm sure you can pick out people on that and stuff.
I'm John Bass.
Yeah. Who was at the church? Who was the sort of the vicar when you were?
Mr. Douglas.
Yeah, because that would have been Fanshawe, I think, when for about 3 years when you were first born. Yeah, then he died, didn't he?
And then he died, and
that was Douglas.
And Mr. Douglas came. Yeah, and his daughter was Mrs. Hurst. That one on that.
I see. Oh yes, I see. Yeah,
his daughter and Mrs. Ross.
Mrs. Ross.
Was his daughter. Mrs. Hurst was. She lost her husband in the war.
Mm.
I think he was in the Navy and quite well armed. But, you know, she spoiled all us kids.
Yeah.
But she weren't my school teacher, but she was some of the others.
Yeah. So in the village, I know we've only sort of gained a war memorial recently, in recent years, and there never sort of really was one. There's the sort of the list in the church and things like that. Did they used to do anything sort of between the wars and after that, like as a remembrance thing? Did they sort of do anything here?
Not really.
No.
I suppose Mr. Douglas might have mentioned. But we had a beautiful choir here.
Yeah, there's lots of photos of that in years gone by, isn't it? You know.
Yes, we had a. I was saying to that lady at Walsham, I was in, because she's in this choir now.
Yeah.
But I was in the choir here, and we used to go to the Abbey in Bury and everything.
Yes.
Because that got us kids out, didn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And then we used to have carol singing.
Yeah.
On Hell, on Clear's Fordham's lorry, he used to all sit in the back of the bar.
Yeah,
and go around carol singing.
Yeah.
Well,
the other day, I said to you earlier on before we started the recording, I went and saw Roy LaGrice the other day, and he was saying they used to go around carol singing, and one time they went up to Ashfield House, up to Hollands.
Yeah.
And they got there near the door, they all started singing and knocked on the door, and the butler tried to get rid of them. But the family, the Holland family, must have heard them, because they are upstairs where this big bay window was, and they made him go and get them to come back. Then they gave them something for doing the singing, because they thought that was good, because obviously, you know, not many people would have gone there like that, you know.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know... Clears Fordham used to take a lorry out voluntarily.
Yeah.
Plus, they'd got to watch us kids didn't fly on there.
Fly and fall off or anything, yeah.
But we were all good.
Yeah.
Well, we had to be because Mr. Shields, what lived up at Babel Hall, Babel Green,
he put
us right.
Yeah.
He'd stab you in the back, you know.
Yeah.
Keep you in order. He kept all them children in order.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. We all was at the choir.
Yeah.
And George Lewis see these little potted meat jars, what they used to put flowers in.
Yeah.
And he went all the way along where the old ladies sit, big ladies and that.
Yeah.
And he put all them potted meat jars. Because when they sit down, they're all rattled and went in. And Douglas stopped the service.
Oh, I see.
And he said, "You boys are all got to get out in a minute." He said, "I'm not having it in this church."
No.
And that was it.
Yeah.
That was in the 50s.
Yeah.
Must have been sort of 54, 56, something like that. Yeah. That was it.
So when you used to go on Clears Fordham's lorry, this is the Clears who used to wind the clock.
That's right. That's little Clears.
Yeah. Because he was only a little tiny fella, weren't he?
Yeah. 3'6". Yeah. Little size 2 shoes. Yeah. And
I can remember him once, because he died in 1988, so obviously that was before then, and I was probably, I don't know, I was probably about early 1980s, I reckon, and I was with my father over here, and we came up through the cemetery, because we used to go over the road to number 2, where Elsie used to live, and we'd been on a walk round the village to the shop or something. We were coming back, and we come through the cemetery, and he come down there, and he got these dungarees on, and a check shirt, and this great big cap, and because he shook hands, and he's always pleased to see anybody, weren't he?
You know. He pushed my mother out in a pram in Badwell Ash.
Yeah.
And my mother was born in 1904.
Yeah.
And he pushed her out in the pram.
Yeah.
Because he told me he weren't very old when he done that.
Yeah.
About 13 or 14 or that's something right. similar.
Yeah.
But he got a lot, he knew a lot about Badwell Ash.
He did, yeah.
And so did his brothers, like,
Jeff was the youngest, that's right.
And
we always used to stop where Jeff lived at the bungalow then. We used to get watercress from him because he used to pick it out of the stream. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, and that used to really grow down there and over the back of the playing field there used to be a lot.
That's right.
But for those listening who might sort of wonder why he was called Clears, Clears was one of his female lines. That was the maiden name of somebody who the Fordhams married into. That was the Clears family.
That's Clears, yeah.
And back then that was common for a boy to, because he was the oldest, the boy to take his mother's maiden name as a middle name, because he was actually Herbert Clears. So that's where the Clears comes from, which is unusual. Yeah. But a lot of that Fordham family, from research I've done, there's no end of boys with Clears as a middle name. There's a lot. We're talking probably between 50 and 100 in that family. There's a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, my name is Pearl.
Comes from a female.
Which came from my mother's father.
Yeah.
Because she didn't think she was going to have any more kids.
Yeah.
And then she ended up with a daughter.
Yeah.
I ended up with a sister, Pearl Elizabeth Frost.
Yeah.
But that's how I got mine. And it's a bit cheeky, really, because I put Frost MP on it.
Yeah.
Which I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Now, back in your younger days, I know from what you've told me before, you were quite handy on a motorbike, weren't you?
Yeah, yes.
Now, didn't you used to do speedway racing over at Mildenhall?
I did, I've seen
some pictures of what you've shown me before, but this is when that was in its early days, and that was sort of like the very first racetrack, wasn't it, over there?
Actually, we'd on the track, the first boy to sign the insurance and go out on the track.
Yeah.
And the second boy was Andy Hines from Elmset.
Yeah.
Because he stopped me on the road and said, would I show him where the track was? Because I was working out there
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah.
And well, we spent a lot of time at Snetterton and Cadle Park with my bikes on the road racing stuff, you see.
So how long were you at Mildenhall for, sort of doing riding over there?
I was riding over there because we were riding little teams. What Hank got us?
Yeah,
a team.
Yeah,
because we only just picked anyone.
That's what right. Went. Yeah, what went? Yeah,
and you know, this was
what sort of year would this be?
1970.
Yeah.
And when I went to watch some speed, well, I thought, I can do that.
Yeah.
So, because I come home and sold my road racing bikes.
Yeah.
And bought a couple of speedway
bikes. Speedway bikes. Yeah. And would this been sort of before Shale? It would be cinder dirt, wouldn't it? When that first started?
Just dirt. It was just shut, you know, coat dust.
Yeah.
And they did venture into Heaven Shale when they got us team established about 1974.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when they started.
Yeah, because they had where they used to wear the body colours or race jackets, they in 1985 they had a special one made which was 10 years, 75 to 85, because they had it across there with the year on, as there's lots of pictures of that. But of the real early days, there's not so many pictures and things.
I've got a few pictures. Yeah. I must get some more done.
Yeah.
I've got them little ones, you know, but I've got some of different boys what used to come and watch.
That's right, yeah.
And they used to sit on my bike or someone else's.
Yeah, that's right.
A picture of them.
Yeah. So as you were sort of the first one to go around there, you must have been the track record holder for some time, you know, till someone else had bettered you.
I must probably done the first lap.
You've done first laps,
But the boy... what come that particular day with me, I lent him my bike, and that was in a bit of a meeting I'd had, and he broke the record, 62 seconds for four laps.
Andy Hines.
And he rode for Ipswich.
I can remember seeing him. He rode for Peterborough as well.
He did.
I can remember him. He rode for the Witches. I can remember seeing him a lot.
And
his
brother
Mick. Yeah.
Was in the sort of full team at Ipswich, weren't
you? Yeah, that's right.
With Shrimp Davey and...
That's right.
And John Lewis.
John Lewis,
And the Lanham boy. And
that's right. Yeah. And we've been Billy Sanders as well.
Yeah, Billy Sanders. Yeah.
So they would have all been... I remember, I think I started going in about 1978, 79. More regular in 1980 there.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Mildenhall, I started to go in the early 80s, probably about 81, 82, definitely 82 onwards.
The last time I went to Mildenhall was 86.
Yeah.
And I went with a Scotchman, what just drunk bottles of whiskey.
Yeah.
And his friend, which was a racehorse trainer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his father. He said, come to... I had a 400 Yamaha.
Yeah.
and he kept saying, have another whiskey. Well, I didn't have
one. Well, no.
No, not on a boy. They were the days. Yeah.
So up here where we are at the moment in Richard Close, do you know roughly when all these little sort of bungalows and stuff were built?
Yes. I was the first one to live in number 10, just over there.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first to be finished.
Right.
It was exactly 1970 when I had my speedway bike.
Yeah.
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 Because I went across the green on it.
Yeah.
It was fired up and went and ended up in Mrs. Osborne's garden and hit the door.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But there weren't no problems, so just apologised, and that was it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I know, they were ever so good.
So these were sort of, this was 1970 up here when these were built.
Yeah.
And I know the council houses down up at St Mary's Crescent, they were built in 1940.
That's right.
Because my great-grandmother, they moved from sort of up near the shop up that way down to there into number 9, and that was about January because she had shingles. Mahala. Yeah. And you remember her, can't you? You said she was a strict lady.
She'd put us boys through.
Yeah.
She kept her eye on me and John.
John, yeah.
But David was a bit quiet.
But yeah.
She kept, and Jimmy was a bit cheeky.
Yeah.
But she kept her eye on us.
Yeah.
And we liked her.
Yeah.
All us boys got on well with her.
Yeah.
I'll never forget her sitting there, you know.
So would you have called her Mrs. Morley?
Yes.
You wouldn't call her by her first name, would you? No.
No, no. We weren't allowed to call...
That's always Mr. or Mrs., whoever it was.
Mr. or Mrs.
Yeah.
And I had been told off for doing it.
Yeah.
A chap from Walsham, he said, my name is Derek Malcolm.
Yeah.
Not Mr. Manning all the time.
Yeah.
Derek, he said, I want you to get in your head.
Yeah.
I said, well, my mother wouldn't like me to talk like that to you. And nor would my dad.
No.
But that was manners, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Manners. And when we went to this Badwell school here,
yeah,
if a funeral procession were coming up there,
that's right,
we all had to stop dead.
That's right.
Stand exactly where we were.
Yeah.
Not too much looking. But that was...
That's what was done, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
That's after them... Two old ladies and all were there, you know.
Yeah.
When they went, we had a master called Woods.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Woods. And they wouldn't let us get our hands at all.
No.
They moved to Wolpert.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a picture of Wolpert School, and he was in, you know, he was the headmaster there.
Yeah. When did you leave school? How old were you when you left school?
I left school at Baton in... I was 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, 14.
And that was at Baton?
Yeah, Baton.
So you went there after here?
Secondary school.
Yeah.
We got that ready for the others, like, you know.
Yeah.
Stone picking and gardening and we used to keep a few pigs and rabbits and all sorts there.
What did you do when you left school? What was your sort of job?
I went to work... in the limes at Great Ashfield.
Yeah.
As the barker's boy, they called him.
That's right, yes.
Cutting sticks.
Yeah.
Looking after the house.
Yeah.
Cutting potatoes in half and putting lime on them to go out and set because you'd got twice as many potatoes.
Yeah.
To set. They were very thrifty, weren't they? Sort of. You know, make sure, but I got treated well there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't get, she wouldn't let you get out of hand,
no.
Mrs. Miles, and you had to call her Mrs. Miles. You didn't call her by a Christian name. It was a different kettle of fish, really.
Exactly, yeah.
It was. But if anything happened in the family,
yeah,
I remember. My father having mumps and all that.
Oh, yes.
And Mrs. Nelly wanted me to stay there.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I come home for my meals. But she was quite prepared to look after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I say how they were in them days, weren't they?
That's right, yeah. You
know, look after each other.
Yeah.
But she was very strict.
Yeah.
She runned one of the chaps... He was telling me, as Benning, she ran him with a broom.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a nuisance.
Yeah.
But because I weren't a nuisance, because I used to look after chickens, help three maids in that house.
Yeah.
I used to help them. If they turned to beds or whatever, or moved anything, I used to go and help them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to go and help them with that.
Yeah, because my father used to go to school with Bennington, so there was at least three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah. That's the one she ran.
Yeah, that's Charlie. Yeah, that's right. Charlie. Yeah.
He's only just died.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
He only just died. I went to his funeral.
Yeah, and there was Peter. He went to school
that's
with.
Right.
Yeah.
He was a rum boy, Peter Benton.
Yeah.
He worked with me at Miles.
Yeah. Because he used to be quite a big chap at one time, didn't he? Because he used to be known as Fatty. My father always called him that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they used to go up... from Ashfield, when they lived there on Hollands Hill, I used to get the bus to go up to Norwich to the Speedway.
Yeah.
And they'd call in this place where there was food somewhere on the way when you get nearly into Norwich, and he'd eat 24 spam sandwiches.
Oh, no.
And then he'd have a load of pints to wash it down.
Yeah,
and then they'd stop somewhere on the way back for chips.
Yeah.
And that's what they'd done on a Saturday. That was like their...
And he never shaved every day.
No.
He was rough-faced. He used to remind me of Popeye's mate, you know.
Yeah.
He never bothered too much.
That's right, I know who you mean.
And he worked in the bacon factory.
Yeah.
And all them Benningtons were hard workers.
Yes, yeah.
Especially Charlie had 9 children.
That's right, yes.
And he said, what I've done with my life is just work to keep my children.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
He's a real gentleman. His daughter, Margaret.
Yeah.
Margie, come up here now.
Yeah.
To see Joan Holder, you know.
Yes, I know who that is, yes.
Come over,
that's right.
See Joe and Thursday Tuesday, she's coming over. And she all stop and speak.
Yeah.
But as I say, he ain't been too good, boy.
No.
Well, I had a bad head.
Yeah.
And I think that was his teeth what were doing it.
Yeah. So back in Badwell, now I believe Elsie used to deliver the post on her bike, didn't she?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I know she got John then, and he used to be in a little seat on the back, if I'm right.
He did.
Yeah.
A proper little seat, what they had on a bike then.
That's right, yeah.
Lots and lots of people had them little seats.
I used to have one when I was little, you know, after a certain age, on the back of my mother's bike.
It was like a cloth sort of surround.
And that sort of went over the... bolted on over the sort of the rear wheel was, didn't it?
And a lot of people had them, didn't they?
That's right, yeah.
We used to see an old boy, he used to live at Walsham, he'd come to Badwell House sometimes with a donkey cart.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Old boy, he always come back to Badwell with a donkey cart. Might even come to bakery, I don't know. But there was bakers in Walsham, weren't there?
Yes, that's right.
Kenny's and that, you know. And I mean, beautiful breed. And I was reading about Mr. Clamp, what lived in Walsham beside the Six Bells.
Yeah.
Something today I was reading about him, you know. I mean, he was a character. Had his own little shop. He sold anything from bamboo canes to needles and thread.
Yes, I see.
He was a proper little man, he was.
But things like that, then people would need to, you know, to like replace things or fix things, wouldn't they? You know, they have to have it.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
There was no fling away, was
no.
there? There weren't no fling away. Yeah.
But you would make things, wouldn't you? You know, it wouldn't be like a big shop where you could go and get them like there is now. You would have to sort of improvise, wouldn't you?
Made them.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to make bird boxes.
That's right.
Start again because that's something to do.
That's right. And people like them, like especially this time of year, before the winter comes, you know.
I used to make specials, you know, with little clasps on so you could take the top off and clean them out and everything. Yeah. And they screwed on through the back. You didn't see the screw.
No, that's right. What was it like, because we're now sort of in autumn now, we're sort of coming soon to winter time. What was it like out here in the winters? Were they really bad when you were young?
They were different to they are today.
Yeah.
We used to all go down and try and skate down in the meadows. And
was that at Langham?
Yeah. And me and David and John and Jimmy, my brother, we all went on the Hudson Road.
Yeah.
There's a big deep pond there in the field. And my father heard that we were down there and we didn't have to get a tell an awful tell
you. I see.
We weren't allowed to go out of the garden no more for months.
Oh.
He wouldn't have it.
No.
Because he told us that was ever since thick ice, though, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
that's it.
But he still said on the edges.
That could be, you know.
Could be nothing. Yeah.
I can remember my father saying, I don't know what year it was, but he said he had to walk to school on top of the hedges because that was so deep, the snow.
That's right, you'd think.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I can remember 19...
I think it was 47 was bad, wasn't it? That was really, really bad.
Yeah, I blew all them trees down there, the gale.
Yeah.
Because the snow had laid on the willows.
Yeah.
And they were so heavy, I just broke when the wind came. And I courted my first wife at Rickon Hall.
Yeah.
And my brother David a little further on, West Hall.
Yeah.
And we both walked, and that was frightening because you didn't know where you were going.
That's right, yeah. You didn't know if it was sort of
no indication of
it. No, you didn't know if it was the road or the ditch or whatever, did you? Yeah. No. But I can sort of remember, I mean, like years and years ago, there was lots of hedges everywhere, and that kept the snow from drifting.
Off the field.
But then they sort of removed a lot, you know, and now I know we don't get very so much now, but that, you know, that used to stop that, you know.
It did. And I think some, like Barkers and that, at West Hall, and they started to realise that, and you go that way, and, you know, it's deep in the fields, but there's nothing much on the road, only a sprinkling,
but was there very many sort of cars and things when you were young here in the village? I know there would be like things to do with the Americans and sort of trucks and things like that, but was there very much other traffic?
There weren't nothing. I'll tell you what, I can count the cars on my fingers.
Yeah.
There was Jack Banks, who lived where you're going to Collins.
Yeah.
He had a car, and he used to store that in the old stone barn down here on the corner near the church. That's where that used to be put. That was a maroon with a black hood.
Yeah.
Jack Banks, and he was a shock and driver.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And there was Dr. Poynard, the doctor from Walsham.
Yeah.
He had a Hillman, a blue one.
Yeah.
Matt Pratt had a van because he had to have a
delivery.
Woods the Baker had a three-wheeled with a motorbike engine and front on the van.
Yeah.
I think it was a Matchless. And so that's four.
Yeah.
And then the schoolmaster had one.
Oh, I see, yeah.
He had a Vauxhall.
Yeah.
That's all the cars I can remember.
Was. So apart from that, that was sort of horse power. Apart from walking.
Bicycles.
Yeah.
Bicycles, horse power.
Or walk.
With a horse.
Yeah.
Or walk.
Yeah.
It was. And, you know, people don't realise that a lot of them couldn't afford if they'd got one.
Yeah, to fill it up.
They couldn't afford the road tax.
Now. Road tax, yes, that's right. Yeah.
I remember my father getting stopped out Hadley Way once.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, he got a car taxed. And that was something like £9 and a shilling or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the whole year.
Yeah.
But he ain't got the money.
No, that's right, yeah.
No. God, yes. Yeah, I make you think, boy. But yes, I know. I look and that picture of me on that pass there.
Yeah.
1980 something, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that don't seem long ago.
No.
No, it don't.
So there's still a few of your sort of classmates and stuff knocking around from when you were at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. There's quite a few, you know. And on a Tuesday night, I meet Colin in the pub.
Yeah.
I didn't this week because I weren't well enough. Because he's an old school friend of mine.
That's right.
And we all used to play cowboys and Indians and make catapults and
that sort of thing.
And arrows
and
pop guns.
Yeah.
Elder. We was always doing something.
That's right.
So when we went to bed or went to school, we could always talk about something.
That's right, yeah.
There was always the subject to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, I only watch fact stuff now on telly.
That's right.
I don't... I'll watch The Vet and that tonight.
Yeah.
Um, that appeal to me, but some things don't.
No, that's right, no, yeah.
No, and if there's music in the pub here, I won't go.
No.
No, that ain't my scene, because I love to talk to people.
That's right, and you can't always hear if there was something like that, could you?
I can't. No. And my hearing ain't that good, because I had mastoids in 1947.
Oh, yes.
And that old Dr. Poynard doctored me, and that cost... when I had that, the cost of it, I can remember my father giving him a white fiver.
Oh, I see,
for about
yes.
3 months' treatment.
Yeah.
Because it was all private work, weren't you?
No, that's right.
All private. Lucky to have a doctor, lucky to be able to afford to have one, because other people had to use herbal remedies and all sorts of stuff. I had to do it myself.
That's right, yeah.
Well, there weren't no health there. I mean, unfortunate, really. Yeah. Well, we are all fortunate.
Yeah.
Because that's tomorrow, a blood test.
Yeah.
Just, you want to be sure
that's right.
that I can take a certain statin.
Yeah.
yeah, but...
So when the sort of the war was over and stuff, did you have some sort of party in the street or anything like that? Over here, did you sort of celebrate anyway when the war was declared over, the Second World War?
Yeah, not to my knowledge, really. I suppose everyone was happy. And there was, my parents would have known.
Because you wouldn't have been very old then yourself, would you?
I wouldn't, you see. But I mean, we grew up quick because, like I say, that I weren't very old on there.
No.
You'll hear quite a bit of that from Colin.
Yes, yeah.
You know, Colin, lad, he'll tell you, because he can talk through quite a bit.
Yeah.
He can, yeah.
Well, we've been going for nearly an hour, Malcolm, so we'll sort of draw this one to a close, and thank you for all your information. We'll resume it on another day about some different bits and pieces.
Yeah, I'll get some more bits and pieces out of my
Right. Thank you very much.
That's all.